David Giuliano is an award-winning writer of articles, essays, and poems. His first novel, The Undertaking of Billy Buffon, has been purchased for our very own Beaches Book Club. Yeah, the Beaches, that we'll donate to our library for part of their collection. His book, It's Good to Be Here, are stories we tell about cancer. It's a spiritual memoir about David's 20-year journey with cancer, some of it which he shared with us when he was here on Zoom in 2010, or in 2020 rather. It wasn't that long ago. It just feels like it when we started this. He served the United Church in Marathon, Ontario from 1987 to 2017, where he and his beloved wife Pearl still live. He was the 39th moderator of the United Church. Now, there will be opportunity for community dialogue with David. And for those on Zoom, we'll just you're welcome to stay, raise your hand to chat, send us an email, and we'll connect with everyone. If you don't wish to, those on Zoom don't wish to participate, Emily will open up a chat room so you can socialize there. So David, please welcome, and I'm going to move this out of your way. Is this out of the way?
Thank you. I'm on okay? Good. Well, I thought courage. And I thought, well, you know what's going to take a lot of courage for an introvert like me? Is to come out of the cave I've been in for the last 2 years, and quite happily so. But it is kind of a scary thing for people who are coming back out into the community, and maybe for you too at times. But I'm so glad to be here and to see some old friends, and really surprised to see Gary and Deborah here, from who we worked at the national office at the same time down in Toronto, and nice to see them. Ran into some kids from Marathon, children who are now young adults yesterday, and it was just so delightful to remake those connections. And of course, Brenda and Dave, and those of you who I got to meet on Zoom last time, but it's so good to be here in person. It's so different to talk to people face to face this way. And I want to say hi to the people who are watching on Zoom. Hi, Mom. It's really good to have you with us today. And maybe Sari's there too, I don't know. Let me take a moment to just kind of be centered and be ready to be open to whatever it is for us to hear this morning. O great mystery, make me an open window through which your tears can rain. Make me a clear window through which your love can shine. Amen. In your mind, if I say the word courage, does a particular image come to you right away? You can say if you want to, but you might just hold that. For me, soon as Brenda said courage was the theme, and by the way, it's nice to start off so people can fix what I say in the rest of the month, but the first thing that came to my mind is, do you remember the image of a little man with his two grocery bags standing in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square? You know, just that incredible courage. And I went back and I watched that video this week. And not only does he stand there, but the person driving the tank tries to go around him. And he moves and steps in front of it, keeps blocking it. And then he climbs up on top and speaks to the people driving the tank inside in front of a long row of tanks. And I always wonder, what happened to that guy? What happened to a man who exercised that kind of courage? We like to think it all worked out well, but you know what? There's no way to know what happened to him. And in the past weeks, I think of Vladimir Zelensky, who, when the U.S. offered to extricate the president of the Ukraine from the country to safety, said, I need ammunition, I don't need a ride. Courage. The woman on the news in Moscow held up the sign saying, no war. We don't know what happened to her either. The Canadian nurse who I heard on CBC from, I forget which city she was in, might have been Mariupol, being interviewed. And in the middle of the interview, she said, oh, there's the alarm. We have to move all the patients to the basement. They're going to bomb the building. I think courage. It's incredibly incredible. And I think, where does that come from? How are some people so courageous and not? First, let me say, as I understand it, there's five kinds of courage. I'm going to have a drink of water. There's physical courage, the person standing in front of the tank, the person running in to the burning building to save someone. You know, that physical courage we usually visualize first. There's also intellectual courage, the willingness to imagine that we might be wrong, that something we have held as a certainty about science or the world or whatever, that we could be wrong. And there's moral courage. You know, I think of standing in line at the grocery store, and someone, as happened to me not that long ago, and they're a friend or a person I know as a neighbor, made it a joke about a transgender person. And the cashier laughed, and he laughed, and everyone laughed. And I had the courage not to laugh. And he said, no, no, it's funny. Get it? It's funny. And I said, no, like, it doesn't feel funny to me. I think of, when I think of moral courage, I think of the whistleblowers in companies and organizations that take a step up and say, this is wrong, and we need to do something about it. And there's emotional courage. I mean, one of the most courageous things we do sometimes is the vulnerability to say to someone, I love you. Or emotional courage to speak a truth that is something about who you are as a person that might not be welcome. And then there's spiritual courage. The courage to imagine that our doctrine, our ideas about how the world works is always going to be insufficient. The courage to acknowledge that the many different faiths in the world bring something to the wholeness of the way we live in the world. But when I think about all those different kinds of courage, I think they have some things in common. And the one that really stands out to me is risk. We don't know what happened to the man and his grocery bags in Tiananmen Square. The risk that is involved, that it won't work out the way we want to. And in that, there is a vulnerability. It's putting ourselves out with courage, trusting that something, that we have to do it no matter what the outcome, I guess, is the way I'm thinking of it. It's like, I always think of the trapeze artist, you know, and you see them swinging back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but sooner or later they have to let go in order to reach that next place. And that image is one I carry with me a lot of the time because after a while it gets tiring. It gets exhausting to just swing back and forth. At some point, something in us needs to reach for another bar, another place. So the question, the third thing, how could I forget, is fear. Fear is such a profound part. I mean, it wouldn't be courage if there wasn't fear involved. And, you know, as in my tradition and maybe some of yours, in the Christian Gospels, fear is a huge part of the story. It's from the beginning to the end. Fear, the angel comes to Mary and says, be not afraid. The angel comes to Joseph, Mary, don't be not afraid. The angels come to the shepherds and says, be not afraid. And all the way through, until the empty tomb where the women come in the morning on Easter morning. And what do they say? What does the angel say to them? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And if you ever hear an angel tell you to be not afraid, be very afraid, because something's going to happen. And it's there all the time. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And what I find myself wondering, and this is the, I really enjoyed having some time to reflect and meditate on this idea of courage, is where does that come from? And there's something about faith, I mean that in the sense not of a doctrinal belief, but faith in resting in the truth about who we are or in the mystery of the world that we're in, practicing fidelity towards that honoring and being loyal to that understanding. It's about the French, we mentioned the reading, the word cœur and courage, the French word, the heart. It means living from one's heart, perhaps, being loyal to the truth that is revealed there, living out of that place of wholeness and in a way that directs our lives. But and there's things that are in common about that, like that we build that in community, we get it through practice, we act out of vulnerability. But in some ways, it's like I can be courageous one day and not the next day, and I wonder why that is. And I don't, like, I'm glad we're gonna have a discussion. Maybe you can tell me why is it that I'm courageous sometimes and not others. Well, I want to tell you a story about two courageous young men that I met, and they have stuck with me. This has got to be a decade ago. It starts in a funny way. Our daughter was working at Pakasan National Park and was at home for the summer and kind of bemoaning the fact that there were no single men in town that were worth dating. And she came home from work the next day, and I was looking out the front window at the time, and she pulled into the car, and she had two young men in the car with her. And I said to Pearl, oh, I think Naomi solved the problem she was having. Well, Bo and Darren are these two young men. And Bo and Darren, they would have been 19 or 20, young, and they knew each other. They were from Toronto, and they had grown up together in scouting. Bo ran a business taking care of fish tanks in doctor's offices and dentists where they have fish tanks. Well, I never thought about that. Who looks after them? But that's what Bo did. He went around the city taking care of these fish tanks. And Darren worked at PetSmart. And one night they were at Darren's place, at his apartment, and they were looking at maps of the Cross Canada trail system. And they said, you know, we got to walk that trail one of these days. We have to make that trip. And they started planning and getting ready, and later the night gone, they said, when could we go? You know, could we make it this summer or next summer or whatever? In the middle of the night, they concluded, no, we have to go tomorrow. And they did. Bo called someone who he knew would take over his business. Boom, he's gone. I'm not sure if Darren even left a message at PetSmart. They packed up their gear, and they started walking. And they walked until they got to Sault Ste. Marie. And along the way, they had all these incredible adventures. The one that strikes me as I really remember is Bo insisted that his uncle had a cottage on Bass Lake, and they saw a sign to Bass Lake, and he was going to go, and they were going to find his uncle's cottage on Bass Lake. Well, if you're from Ontario, particularly Southern Ontario, you know that there's about 20 Bass Lakes, right? So how he thought he knew. They walked, and it was the middle of the night, and Darren said, I was saying, I want to lie down. I want to, let's just sleep. And they were trying to get some water, and they got chased off from someone's house because they want to fill their canteens up. And it was horrible. Eventually, they find the mailbox with his uncle's name on it. And wait, his uncle from Toronto is there. And they spend the night. And, you know, Bo's just like, well, you know, that's, of course we found him, you know. And So they get to Sault Ste. Marie, and if you know the Cross Canada Trail in Northern Ontario, you'll know that it's more of an idea than an existence. It doesn't really, it's not maintained. And they realized this, and they said, no, we'll get a canoe. So they get a sign, and they stand at an intersection in Sault Ste. Marie, and the sign says, we'll buy your canoe for $200. First intersection, someone yelled at them, you know, get out of here, what are you, crazy, get off the street. Darren said, Bo looked at him and said, wrong corner. And so they went up a corner, they held the sign up, the guy picked them up, said, I got a canoe for you, do you have life jackets? No. Took them to Walmart, they got some life jackets, got a canoe, they paddled from Sault Ste. Marie to Pukasaw National Park. Yeah, it's a long way, and this is where Naomi met them, paddling in. And they said, we need to get into town. And so she brought them into Marathon. And they had a whole thing. They had a rule. They weren't going to stay inside. They were going to stay outside. So they camped in our yard. But they come in for dinner and use showers and stuff. I mean, this amazing conversation with them. And then, they decided it was getting too rough on Lake Superior. So they got the canoe. Someone brought it here to Thunder Bay for them, one of our friends, I can't remember who, and then they were going to walk, catch up with the canoe. And the last time I saw them, I kid you not, they were running down Highway 17 together with a Buddhist monk in a saffron robe and his running shoes, who was running across Canada for no purpose except to run across Canada. Like, he wasn't raising money or attention or anything. That was just part of his discipline. And off they went. Their plan was to trade the canoe in Winnipeg for a horse, and they thought they might go on. I'm not making this up. It was incredible. But what the whole point, I just love to tell the story, but the other thing about it is that they said, I was talking with Darren one day, I forget where Bo was, and I said, well, you know, what's this all about? They said, well, I think it's an experiment where I'm trying to convince myself that the world and people are basically good. And I said, what are you finding out? And he said, yeah, I think the world and people are basically good. And he wants to try and live that way. And he wants to test it. And it seemed to me that story collided with my question about where does courage come from? And in some ways it takes courage to live as though people and the world are basically good. And there's an element of choice in it, I suppose. But there's a courage in it that keeps us close to our heart, that keeps us close to the mysteries of this life, that invites us to live in a particular way. We all know quotes about what courage is, and I'm going to leave you with this one from Hemingway, is that courage is grace under pressure. That the surprise, the unearned, the beautiful, under pressure is what calls us to courage. I don't know why it doesn't all the time, but sometimes it does. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share those thoughts with you this morning. Thank you.